Welcome to the jungle. I am Jim Rome. We had a great first hour. It is a three-hour program. For those of you who do not know, when I got my first big break and I got my first big talk show, it was a five-hour program. You know how I'm kind of a throwback? The rare single-host talk show? Back in the day, I did 5 hours every night by myself. So throwing it way back to the night show, 7 p. to 12 midnight. Then I came up a little bit, and they gave me a four-hour show. Then I came up a little bit more, and they gave me a three-hour show. And I thought to myself, I got this thing wired. I make the same amount of money. I make more money, and I work 3 hours. This is great. If I can get this thing down to 2 hours, maybe 1 hour, if I can get this thing down to a Rome minute and make the same amount of money, it'd be great. Except I've been stuck on 3 hours for like 2 decades. And now I'm afraid they're going to say, hey, I got an idea for you, smart guy. How about you do a four-hour show and you make half as much money? How about we bring back that five-hour show and the Scrub Saturday show? And we pay you 10% of what you're making right now. Yeah, I don't like that. This program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. So, hour number two. Lorenzo Alexander, Buffalo Bills linebacker, joins me at 40 past. In the third hour, LA Dodgers second baseman Max Muncy. Still talking about that piece that dropped on ESPN.com, written by Baxter Holmes about the LA Lakers. And yesterday, most of the talk was about Magic Johnson, not so much about Rob Pelinka. But then that story came out that Rob Pelinka got up in front of his team with The Rock on stage with him and told a story about how Kobe Bryant, a guy that he represented for a number of years, had said to him, I saw The Dark Knight. I want to meet Heath Ledger. And Pelinka set that up.
And he's like, hey, hook me up with dinner with Heath Ledger.
And Kobe wanted to meet him because he was so impressed with his focus and his approach. And that they had dinner. It was a great dinner. And Kobe was able to glean some information, which he used in the game against the Knicks. But the thing about The Dark Knight and Heath Ledger, and the thing that made that whole thing so fascinating and so tragic, literally everybody knew he died 6 months before the release. So how does that guy, Rob Pelinka, get up and tell that story? Like, everybody knew except Pelinka. So now I'm getting nothing but Pelinka tweets. At PC Brent 1 tweets, Rob Pelinka has zero credibility. Signed, Hawk lying about delivering pizzas while stoned.
No, Jim. I'm not getting baked at all.
Jamie in Green Bay talks about Jason in Harrisburg, who was on the watch list, but is no longer. The only watch list Jason is on now is the one where you have to go door to door and let people know that you live in the neighborhood. You mean the sexual predator watch list? The molester watch list? You mean that watch list? PJ in the Mile High tweets, Ike should book Bill Buckner and Bart Starr. Signed, R. Pelinka. PJ, way too freaking soon. Way too soon, bro. We're both those guys. Class acts. Bill Buckner and Bart Starr. Both unbelievable guys. Who just passed. Hey, Rome. Oh, no. Ritt has that cribbage board out again. Signed, the rest of the XR4TI during the lunch break. The rest of the XR4TI during lunch break. Lee in Vancouver. That's true. My father-in-law, Lynn, used to bust out his cribbage board. Of course, he was in his late 80s when it happened. Ritt has a cribbage board. Yeah, way to keep the show young, bro. Hey, Rome, I believe Pelinka's story. Signed, that caller who said that he golfed with OJ.
I'm walking up to the first tee, and there's a couple there. And the guy turns around, and boom, it's O.J. Simpson with his new girlfriend. And this was maybe a month after the trial. And I'm like, this can't be happening. And so I'm thinking, you know, what do you even say to the guy? And he's like, hey, I'm O.J., this is my girlfriend, blah, blah, blah. Now, this is going to sound even weirder, but he was the most likable, personable guy. He was going on about his days at USC, his days in Buffalo. You know, he bought me a couple beers, got me lunch.
Listen to this guy, Justin in HB. Very believable story, Justin. Really believable story. Hey, man, you don't know the Orenthal I know. This guy couldn't have been cooler. Going on about his days at USC, bought me a couple of cocktails, bought me some lunch. Asked me to go to Hawaii with him. Bought me a car. Showed me the knife. I mean, come on, man. Just tell the truth. Stop the lies. All of you. All right, so I mentioned the NBA and NHL had the night off last night. So we've got nothing to talk about, right? What am I supposed to do? I mean, all we have is MLB. Yeah, well, MLB has got this. Hell yes, it does. There were so many things that MLB had yesterday that for a brief moment it felt like it was America's pastime all over again. It had it all. I mean, you want something terrible? You want something embarrassing? Why don't we start in Chicago for the first pitch before yesterday's Royals-White Sox game? Now, first pitches are a weird thing. I've actually done it. I can speak from experience. They're tougher than they look. They're deceivingly difficult, even for actual athletes. The problem is they're generally handled by non-athletes who throw on a jersey, march onto a major league field, and then try to throw a rock to a small target. It's not that easy. In fact, it's pretty hard. And there are like 15 of these things every single day, which means that every single day, multiple people are missing the plate and bouncing it off the grass. And it's gotten to the point where the horrible first pitch genre is very played and very tired. Hey, why don't we clown this singer or this municipal employee, you know, like Dasmati, for doing something that most people cannot do? Like, if I wanted to do a take on a terrible first pitch every single day, I could do that. And then I could just run down all the terrible first pitches that came before it. Again, really lazy. Hell, the compilation is so easy. I could have Alvin play a tape of me talking about 50 Cent, Mariah Carey, the mayor of Cincinnati, and so on and so on. But since the horror of a first pitch is visual, and the majority of the audience is on radio, it doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? You need to do something pretty terrible to get run on this particular show for a bad pitch. So, yesterday, the White Sox honor their employee of the month by having her throughout the first pitch. And they want to make sure that they capture the moment, so they sent a photog out there as well. The photographer is standing on the grass to the left of the so-called pitcher. Probably thought that he was safe. Spoiler alert, he was not safe.
Pitching staff leads the league in walks, and that's carried over to the ceremonial first pitch. Decide whether that's the worst first pitch in baseball history or the best pitch first pitch in baseball history.
You got to see it to believe it. I mean, well, if you're watching on CBS Sports Network, you saw it. If you've already seen it, you know. There's missing the plate. There's bouncing it off the grass, and then there's bouncing it off the photographer who's about 10 feet off to the side. Drill this cat right in the lens. I mean, it is awesome. Truly special. Now, of course, you know that every sports radio show and morning zoo show around the country is going to have a bunch of out-of-shape dopes mocking her, insisting they could do better, and I doubt it. She doesn't need to be clowned. You think you could do better? Do you think that Doug from accounting or Amy from sales is really going to be up there painting the black in the low 90s with crazy movement? For all we know, her job is to evaluate talent, not be the talent. So unless this woman is the employee of the month from the pitching department, man, get off her back. Give her a break. Now, that said, dotting the photog is incredible. I haven't seen something that jaw-dropping on the field in a Royals-White Sox game since the shirtless father and his son ran onto the field and attacked the Royals' first base coach. At least this White Sox employee was invited to the proceedings. Now, if you want to make fun of somebody, take a run at Blue Jays right fielder Randall Grichik. Grichik did the outfield equivalent of a horrible first pitch in the third inning last night. Now, when you talk about inside the park home runs, what do you think of? Most people immediately think of that exciting play where some speed burner drives a gap, gets on his horse, sprints around the bases, and then beats a bang-bang play at the plate. Always exciting. Or it's like this. Tampa's Avisio Garcia lofts a soft pop-up to right field, and the right fielder has himself a nightmare.
Garcia lifts it into right. A lot of hang time, and Grichik loses that one. That's going to bound to the wall. I don't know if it hit anything up there or not, but Garcia's already rounding third. He's headed to the plate. He is safe. He rounds the bases.
Honestly,
inside the park home run, and Grichik still trying to figure out what happened out there.
Yeah, all of us. We all are. That's a better visual than that first pitch where that lady dotted the photog from 10 feet. Like, I don't know if that guy lost the ball in the lights. I don't know if he lost the ball in the ceiling. I don't know if he never saw it. I don't know if this guy's got the worst vision ever. But Grichik missed that ball by about 30 feet. Grichik is staggering around in right field, staring at the ceiling, looking for something, and the ball lands like 10 yards behind him and bounces all the way to the wall. Oh, but credit to Grichik. When he realizes where the ball is, he doesn't sprint after it. This guy's jogging after the ball. Almost walking after the ball. Giving Garcia time to not only circle the bases, but slide into home plate without there even being a play at home plate. And let's be honest. Garcia is not exactly Vince Coleman. Garcia's more like Steve Balboni. My guy is slower than dirt. Even with that misplay, that should have only been a triple. But because Grichik lost the ball in the ceiling or the lights or never saw it to begin with and practically walked to it, Garcia ends up with quite possibly the worst inside the park home run ever. But as good slash horrible as those moments were, last night in baseball, hell, last night in all of sports belonged to one Derek Richard Dietrich and to the Jungle Karma. I've said it before, I'll say it again. The karma is one of the most powerful forces on earth. It is not something I control. It's not even something I understand. It's bigger than me. It's bigger than you. It's bigger than all of us. But you know the drill. If somebody comes on the show and does a good interview, good things generally happen to them. And Derek Dietrich came on the show yesterday and did a great interview. Not only did he do a great interview, he stayed on the phone afterwards and called his shot about the topics that he wanted to discuss the next time he's on. So there's being a good interview. Then there's going next level and producing your next interview before you even hang up the phone from your first interview. In other words, I could not have been more impressed with this guy than I was. Then the game against Pittsburgh. Dietrich has been mashing Pittsburgh pitching all season long. So he had to be feeling pretty good when he stepped into the batter's box in the first inning, especially after his jungle interview. But he grounded out in the first inning. Then he came up in the bottom of the fourth with a runner on second. And then this happened.
Dietrich drives one deep to right. This one's way back there, and it's gone. A two-run shot for Derek Dietrich. It's 3-0 Reds.
Bada! Reds Radio, such a sweet swing. Man, his cat is so good. So, so good. The karma lives. Do a good interview. Hit a home run a few hours later. The karma is real. But then he comes up in the bottom of the fifth with a runner on, and this happened.
He swings and sends a drive back into right field. He's got another one. Back-to-back at bats. Back-to-back home runs for Derek Dietrich, who runs his season's total now to 16. And the Reds lead goes to 6-0.
Are you kidding me about this guy? What an amazing performance. Masterpiece of an interview. And now a 2-home-run, 4-RBI game. Dietrich, if you need him. Except he wasn't done. He comes to the plate in the bottom of the 7th. Stop me if you have heard this before. Runner on, and I will warn you, this is not a replay.
The conference on the mound is over. Now the pitch to Dietrich, and he swings and barrels another one to right, and this one's gone. 3 for Derek Dietrich, and all 3 are 2-run home runs.
3 home runs. The jungle karma has never been stronger. Go ahead and watch Kevon Looney get off with a triple-double in game one. Best part about those home runs, none of them were cheap. There was not a cheap one among them. And you could time his trots with a sundial. I know the Pirates and their fans hated that, but if you love baseball, you should love that. Those 3 bombs last night gave him 17 on the year, a new career high, and we're not even in May yet, or through May. This is a guy who was DFA'd by the Marlins, and now he's putting up Barry Bonds numbers this year. I mean, seriously, he's averaging a home run every 6.9 at-bats. In his prime, Bonds was 6.52. An incredible performance by Dietrich. On the phone, then at the plate. War, and I don't war things myself. I usually let you all do that. War Dietrich. War the Reds. War the legendary Rob Butcher. And most of all, war the jungle karma. Man, it never fails. Oh, and how about Jeets? How about Jeets? War Jeets. Hey, Jeets, I know you're a zero patience guy, and you want to be competitive this season, or so you say. Maybe you should have shown a touch more patience with my guy Dietrich. You let him go, and now he's got more home runs than all of your second basemen and left fielders combined, both positions he can play. How's that gift basket taste, Captain? Freaking Jeets and his NL worst Miami Marlins, if you need him. God, how much damage has that guy done to his rep? This guy was freaking Joe DiMaggio when he retired. Except better. I mean, what a reputation. This guy was practically Lou Gehrig when he retired. This guy was Gehrig, DiMaggio, Mantle, Ruth, Whitey Ford, all rolled into one. And now he's the guy who wrecked the Marlins, who's got a couple of stand-up soap dispensers and a couple of iPads. You probably don't need Dietrich, huh, Jeets? When we come back, Lorenzo Alexander. It's about 20 minutes off, actually. The Raiders brought in Richie Incognito. I definitely want to get to that topic. Or are you taking good care of your car? Show your vehicle some love at O'Reilly Auto Parts, where you'll get better parts, better prices every day. They have the parts that you need to get the job done right, from measuring tools, mechanic wire, and motor oil, to cylinders, starters, springs, from batteries, belts, and brakes, to filters, fluids, and fuses. O'Reilly Auto Parts has it all. O'Reilly stores are stocked with high-quality parts and accessories at guaranteed low prices. It is one-stop shopping for all of your vehicle needs. If you need something, the store's well-trained professionals are standing by to help you out. And if you don't have time to get to a store, shop O'Reilly online. You can have your order shipped to your home or to a store. If you want to buy even more stuff, become an O'Reilly Rewards loyalty member and you will earn points every time you shop. Earn 150 points and earn a $5 reward. Keep going and earn double points, bonus points, even mega points. Plus, you'll get exclusive email-only offers. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices. Every day, O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Smack Off Profile. Smack Off Player Profiles continue later on. The BIC came in yesterday after hearing his, and he torched some more fools. Tiger is shooting to tie the record for 82 PGA Tour wins at Jack's Tournament, the Memorial, presented by Nationwide this weekend on CBS. Obviously, that's a big one. Today's Smack Off Profile, if I can get to it, Mark in Hollywood, the BIC yesterday. As I mentioned, he called in, then left called in to respond to the BIC. Today, Mark in Hollywood. If I can get to that a little bit later on. Next segment, Bills linebacker Lorenzo Alexander. Let's go to the phones. I'm seeing more and more watch parties. Apparently, there is another one. This one in Portland. This guy tweets the show all the time. Let's go to Wells in the 360. Wells, onto the phones. What's up, man? How are you?
Good. How are you doing, Jim?
Good. Great. It's good to hear your voice.
Hey. Yeah, I appreciate the vine, man. I just want to let you guys know and everybody know there's a SmackOff 25 watch party. It's officially been booked. This one's for all the clones in the Pacific Northwest. This one's going to be in downtown Portland at the Bloodworks Live Studio, the 1029 750 The Game Lounge. That's downtown on 6th and Madison. It's super easy to find. There's lots of parking, room for everyone. These guys are going to put SmackOff 25 on the theater there and then sync up the live radio broadcast so everyone can watch it together. Peter Sampson, he's been a diehard clone since the 90s. This guy works at the station, and he let us know that this is actually the same studio where you you broadcasted there from about 4 years ago when you were in Portland.
Right.
So you can vouch for how cool this place is going to be. The doors are going to be opening at 8:30 a.m. on June 21st. There's room for everybody. The more clones, the merrier. If anybody has any questions, you can find me on Twitter, at WellsInThe360, or hit up Peter. He's at Peter Sampson. We'll answer any questions you have. Jim, we really, really hope this isn't the last SmackOff, but we're going to party like it is just in case. So if you guys can make it to Portland, if you can drive from anywhere, you don't want to miss out. War the Seattle Mariners, war the Washington State Cougars, and war the Woodscopes.
My man, Wells, way to represent. Way to represent the 360. Way to represent the Pacific Northwest. Great job. I do know that studio. I know that facility. We did broadcast from there. It's beautiful. It's awesome. It's a really nice place for a watch party. I love it. Watch parties in Cali, in Oregon, in Arizona, and in Wisconsin. Five that I know of. If there is a watch party that you would put together, let us know. If it's legit, we'll give you some shine. In terms of the SmackOff itself, it is the Silver Anniversary SmackOff. Number 25, it's June 21st. Alvin, for one, is all ready for it.
I don't want to do this. I have to do this. This one is for America. USA!
Shut your punk mouth.
You sociopath.
Pitchy bitch with D-minus smack.
Gimmicky little snitch.
Look me up in the Stucknut Take box. Check out my portfolio of dead bodies.
SmackOff 25. Friday, June 21. Remember, the only way to win is to get in.
I'm in the SmackOff and you ain't.
Crack me, Jim. I'll be there.
I mean, you people stink when you wash.
And the prize, $5,000 cash.
And a therapy dog.
This event is not for everybody. In fact, it's for the best of the best.
Bring the entire family circus because I got a clown suit for every last one of them.
We're talking about the upper 1,000.
None of them frighten me, but
don't forget about Mona.
He needs to pull his pants up and do something productive in the world, like chew a box of razor blades so he would swallow his own fluids for a change.
Who wants to walk a chef from Richmond?
Even if I did have flesh-eating disease, it wouldn't be that surprising. I'd want to eat me too.
When the other cheeses have a pot, American cheese sits home uninvited and eats a whole pack of itself from depression.
If I'm going to pay $100 to watch Bill Mickelson play golf, he damn well better be topless.
I'm Pedro Martinez, you're Don Zimmer, and you better get your decrepit fat ass back in the dugout.
Bro, it's a radio show, it's not Fight Club. Settle down, Junior.
From Redondo Beach to Rwanda, you're welcome.
From getting left back in the fourth grade to filing for bankruptcy for the fourth time.
Were you talking about concussions, or were you imitating that? I mean, Jim didn't know if you should cut to commercial or slide a credit card between your teeth so you didn't swallow your tongue.
Take out the gimmicks, and that call sucked so bad it might have sucked another Southwest passenger out of airplane window. Record that, bitch.
It is officially go time. Smack off 25. 25 is a nice, fat, even number. I might walk off on that one.
Tell me how my ass tastes.
Talk that magic.
I want to talk.
Yeah, Bob, I'm flaming.
Radio wallpaper.
Larry Brown.
Larry Brown, really?
It's delicious.
Larry Brown, really? You know who I don't think we've heard from? Stevie Carbone. Stevie Carbone could win it. What's up, Steve-O? You coming in? June 21st, the 25th anniversary of the SmackOff. When we return, Lorenzo Alexander of the Buffalo Bills joins us. Max Muncy.
Live from Southern California, This is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. We are efforting Lorenzo Alexander, Bills Mafia. A lot to be excited about. A lot to be optimistic about when you look at what they're assembling there. So we're going to run him down. Jungle favorite, Lorenzo Alexander, coming up momentarily. L.A. Dodgers second baseman, Max Muncy, coming up next hour. Phil in Dallas tweets, Jimmy, we're having a smack-off party too. Signed, John, Paul, George, and Ringo. Come together. I don't get it. I don't get it, Phil, and I really don't want to get it. So what do you say you just take the rest of the day off? And by taking the rest of the day off, I mean never tweet at me ever again. I mean, I'm not going to block you because I don't care. Just don't. Just stop. I want to talk about Richie Incognito going to the Raiders. Very Raider-like move. Look at what they've done this offseason. And then the explanation for it's even more bizarre. That's coming up later on. The Smackoff profile. Mark in Hollywood is coming up. But we are no longer efforting. The eagle has landed. We are joined right now by a linebacker for the Buffalo Bills. He is a two-time Pro Bowler, a Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee in both 2017 and 2018. Coming off another big year, 6.5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, a career high, 9 passes defensed, 2 interceptions last season. He was undrafted out of Cal way back in 2005. Buffalo opens up against the Jets on September 8th. You know that's a CBS game. Lorenzo Alexander is my guest. Lorenzo, it's great to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. How you been, brother?
Oh, man, I'm doing great. It's great to have you on. Listen, you've done this before. You have done this before. So you've gone through OTAs. Let me start right there. Because you've been through so many of these things, how do you approach them? Are you hyped up, or is it just a grind and something you just have to get through?
You know what? I don't think I'm hyped up, or nor is it a grind for me. I take it for what it is. It's, for me, it's a great time just to sharpen my tools, because I don't really care how long you play this game. You know, after taking a couple of months off, you know, if the season is in January, we're just getting back into work in March. Your skill set, your tools are rusty. So I really use it just to get back in shape from a football standpoint, you know, working on my footwork, working on my eye progression, and really taking my understanding of our football scheme to another level so I can go out there and make plays and understand where I can make plays at.
See, that to me is really interesting, what you're talking about, and this is why you're still where you are. The fact that you've got all these tiny details and technique that you start to get a little bit rusty when you take some time away from the game. Like, where did that mentality come from? The importance of every single detail, every single rep, even in May, where did that come from?
It really came from being around great players that came before me. You know, guys like Bridget Buckner, London Fletcher, Chris Samuels that I played with, Larry Fitzgerald. And all those guys in my mind are elite, you know, Hall of Fame caliber players. And you watch how they work, even with great success and great talent, they always paid attention to the details and the little things because they understood that's what got them to where they were at and got them through stressful moments throughout the season to really help them overcome when they may not be playing that well. So building relationships with those guys, watching how they worked, I definitely wanted to adopt it because it had been so successful for them.
Smart. Lorenzo Alexander joining us. I mentioned before he came on that there's an awful lot to be optimistic about if you're in Buffalo. The team brought in a number of guys in the offseason, both as free agents and through the draft. So how do you go about getting everybody on the same page as quickly as possible and making sure that all the pieces fit and the chemistry works?
Well, that's really what the offseason is for. I think Sean does a great job as far as building culture and setting up an environment where we kind of force that, you know, guys hanging out, guys getting together, because that's one of the biggest things that people, I think, take for granted is the chemistry and the understanding of each other when you're out there on the football field. Because we always talk about, you know, the NFL is a group of men staying together the longest. And, you know, a lot of things can go wrong, ups and downs. And during this offseason, we really focus on love, respect, and coming together through different team activities, obviously competing on the field, doing these OTAs, running the scheme and stuff too. But I think just this whole offseason is kind of geared towards getting to know each other, because that's the biggest thing. I mean, we've had like 30 new guys easily on this roster. I think there's only 4 guys left on this team when I came here at 16, and that's the nature of the NFL. So how do we get those guys caught up? How do we get those guys on the same page? And this really goes down to how Sean organizes the offseason and the things that he sets up to kind of bring us closer together.
Lorenzo Alexander is back here in the jungle. You know, when you talk about the NFL being a group of men staying together as long as they possibly can and the culture, the fact is the NFL locker room is really unlike any other place. Like, if guys, if there's somebody or somebodies that do not fit in, they don't buy in, they're not doing the work they're supposed to be doing, what happens to those guys?
I mean, well, here, I mean, we've moved on from them. You know, whether they've gotten traded or released, like I said, you know, there's only four guys left from 16. And obviously, some of those guys, you know, either retired like an E. Wood or a Kyle Williams. But some of those guys, you know, Sean and Brandon felt like they didn't fit what we were trying to do and in our future of the NFL, and they move on. And that doesn't just happen here with the Bills. That's just the life of an NFL player. You know, so that's why I always, you know, tell young guys, man, you need to buy in to what's being taught, because you can be here today and gone tomorrow very easily, especially in this league.
Now, Lorenzo, I'm not there, but I got to think that one guy who I know is going to fit in, and again, I'm not there, but the one guy that I know will fit in, Frank Gore. The team added Frank Gore.
Yeah.
Man, I've got so much respect for him as a player. What was your reaction to the news, especially the fact that he's a couple of weeks older than you, and what's he going to bring to the locker room?
That's the first thing I look for when we sign a vet. How old is he? And obviously, Frank, like you just talked about, he's 2 weeks older than me. I turned 36 on Friday. So I was glad to have him here. But like you mentioned, I mean, the guy's a Hall of Famer. He's put up 1,000 yards multiple times throughout his career. He's a hard, tough nose runner. I've competed against multiple times throughout my career. And I have nothing but the respect as far as how he approaches this game. He loves the game. He's a student of the game as well. So he's definitely going to add a lot of leadership on that offensive side, toughness that we definitely will need as we go through this season and try to, you know, obviously get to the playoffs.
Lorenzo Alexander of the Bills is joining us. So as a team, you battled injuries last year, especially a quarterback. How tough was that for the team? And then how much are you looking forward to year two with Josh Allen?
Right. I mean, I think you know better than anybody else, it's a quarterback league. And if you don't have a guy at the helm that knows what he's doing and understands the game consistently, you really, you know, playing from behind, you really don't have an opportunity. I think we had four different guys start last year, and that's really why we ended up 6-10, no continuity at the quarterback realm. And you saw as Josh got in there late in the year, he grew, got better. I think the team started rallying around him. And we want to obviously use some of that juice we kind of finished the season off with and transition into next year. And with the growth of him and adding several of these guys around him, really see our offense explode and help us win games this year. So I'm excited for it and looking forward to what Josh is going to bring. And I know the coaches really like his maturation process from year one to year two, and he's taking all the reps. So I'm excited for what they're going to be able to bring out this year.
We're talking to Lorenzo Alexander. Now, you and I have talked about this in the past. Off the top, I mentioned you were undrafted out of Cal in 2005, and we've talked about your journey in the past, but I want to underline this because guys who go undrafted are not supposed to make it in the league, let alone make it in the league for more than a decade and go to multiple Pro Bowls. How much pride is there in that for you?
I mean, there's a lot. Obviously, I had to put a lot of hard work in it. But, I mean, I realize my success is not my own. And I've had countless coaches and players. And, you know, I mentioned London Fletcher, who was undrafted as well and played in this league 16 years. And being able to attach myself to guys like that who's really showed the way about how to be successful, you know, I stand on those guys' shoulders. So, yeah, I'm here 15, but it was a group of men that really allowed me to build relationships and learn from them. Because you don't get that, you know, I've heard countless stories from guys that came out with me where their veterans wouldn't help them out. They wouldn't speak into their life and really show them how, what it meant to be a man in the NFL, on and off the field. And so I'm thankful for those guys that I've had throughout my career. And that's ultimately why I'm still in this league, because those guys taught me how to be a leader, how to be a player, and then really how to give back to the community.
Yeah, it's really high praise. You know, you mentioned London Fletcher a couple of times. Now, I see him sometimes when I go back to New York for the NFL on CBS. My man's a rock, and he's a bone crusher. Every time he shakes my hand, I mean, dude, he is so strong still. Like, what's that point, Lorenzo, about guys, veterans that will not help? Are they, is it because it's so cutthroat, because they're afraid that you might take their job? Why will some guys help and others won't?
Well, I think it comes down to, you know, being secure. And, you know, like in any walk of life, there's a certain insecurity when somebody else you're competing with may have the opportunity to take your job away, because this is how guys, you know, feed their families and take care of themselves. And if you're going to help a young guy and you see the writing on the door as far as you walking out, you know, selfishly, most people are just selfish thinking and want to give it to themselves. You know, I've thought it totally different, obviously, because guys did it for me, but I'm willing to compete with anybody, and I want to give them the information and the wisdom to know. And then as they get better, I got to get better. And if I'm not good enough to beat somebody, I can live with myself. I don't think I can live with myself telling somebody the wrong thing, getting them cut, that's really affecting them and their future as well, versus going out there and competing, and the best man wins. So that's just the route I've taken, just because that's what was shown to me at a young age.
Preach. What a great attitude. Lorenzo Alexander joining us for a few more moments. You have become an absolute fan favorite in Buffalo because of, well, things like that. You and I have talked about the Bills Mafia in the past. We've talked about that fan base in the past. But you admitted recently that before you got there, you didn't know what playing in Buffalo was all about. Before you got there, what was your impression of Buffalo?
Cold weather. I never been up this far north at all. In New York, and I think it's just more just so of a lack of knowledge, really ignorance, just because I had never lived in this part of the country. But once you get up here, you get to meet the people, get to see the city and see all that it has to offer. I mean, you fall in love with it. And it really matches up well to, who I am as a football player, blue collar, nothing given to me, earn everything. And the community embraces that. And so I've fallen in love with that mindset and the culture. And our family loves it up here. We stay up here year-round now, and it's really been great for me and my kids. This is probably the favorite place that they've lived since I've been in the NFL.
All right, so you're there year-round. At the same time, you and your foundation are hosting a camp in Alameda here in California on June 22nd. You are from the Bay Area. What's it like to be able to go back and give back like that and make a difference back home?
Yeah, I think it's important. I'm never going to forget where I came from, because that's where the roots and the foundation was established. And I have several friends there. We're actually partnering with the Bay Area Seminoles, guys I played with in college and in the NFL that have started a youth league, and we've partnered. And I just want to give back to the next generation, obviously going back and giving them a real-life picture of what it looks like to come out of the inner city of Oakland, really, and in Alameda, that whole Bay Area. And just give resources and give hope. And I think that's key, that we have guys do that. You see Marshawn and his whole crew doing it, and I just want to be a part of that, because we have a lot of guys from the Bay Area that have been successful, and we're all looking to try to give back and help out the next generation do the same thing.
One last thought. There have been so many great athletes to come out of Oakland, NFLers, NBAers. When you were coming up, who were some of the guys from the area that you looked up to?
Oh, wow. I think Tarik Glenn, who played for the Colts for a long time, won a Super Bowl championship. Jason Kidd was another guy. Those are probably the two top ones that kind of come to my mind. And I'm pretty sure if I think long enough, there's a myriad of other guys that were, 5 to 10 years older than me that I really looked up to playing and played in the league and have done a lot of great things as well.
He played his college ball in Cal. He was undrafted way back in 2005 out of Cal, a two-time Pro Bowler, a Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee for 2017 and 2018. And the Bills open up against the Jets September 8th. Lorenzo Alexander back on the program. Lorenzo, great to have you, man. Thanks so much.
I appreciate you. Anytime, brother.
Appreciate you very much. Always good to have you on this show. Love talking Bills football. And always happy to talk to Lorenzo Alexander. What a class act. Such good player. Undrafted in 05 and still doing it. And my man Frank Gore is now a member of the Bills. Richie Incognito, a member of the Raiders. So as we go to hour number three, I want to get into that. Also in hour number three, Tom Glavin stopped by for the Jim Rohn podcast. Knocked it out of the yard. I will tell you all about that. A smack-off player profile. Mark in Hollywood. I will try to get that to you in hour number three. And that Max Muncy interview and more. 1-800-636-8686. Phone lines are open right now. Now is a good time to call. NBA Finals get underway tomorrow. Kevon Looney came through. Did a really nice interview in hour number one. Go ahead and pencil him in for a triple-double. Toronto's a tough matchup now. The Warriors are not at home. They don't have the home court for the first time. They do not have Kevin Durant. You've got to contend with Kawhi Leonard, who might be the best player left right now. It's a big ask. This is not going to be easy for Golden State. They're favored with or without Kevin Durant, but that is not an easy ask. All right, so we'll come back. Third hour. Just 23 days left until the smack-off. You are running out of time. Watch parties being added. A new one in Portland. So, the Bay Area, Dana Point, Wisconsin, Tucson, Portland, and more. Stay tuned. Hour number three, straight ahead.